By definition, ambassadors are representatives of their sovereign and their nation. We have the privilege to discuss and represent our sovereign, Jesus Christ, and his kingdom for his glory. Join us as we seek him first. Welcome to Ambassador Talks.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Ambassador Talks. Ambassador Talks is brought to you by Ambassador Baptist Church in Hudson, North Carolina. This week, we're going to talk about justification by faith or works. Which is it? This is a very important time of year, and no, I'm not talking about Halloween. I'm talking about the anniversary, and this year it's the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. Why is that important? Well, you may or may not be here because of that fact. We are here in America because of religious liberty, and we could go on and on and on this subject forever. But we're not here to talk about the Reformation tonight, but we are here to talk about a very important part of what caused it and a huge issue in America. And we're going to play some audio clips, and we're going to talk about justification, what it is, what is sanctification, and we're going to talk about a lot of things tonight that is very important doctrinally. I'm Nathan Phillips, here with Pastor Robert Setzer of Ambassador. And Pastor, it's really hard to describe how important this doctrine is.
Absolutely. It is extremely important, Nathan. We talk about justification, and we'll simply add what the Bible says, justification by faith. Alone, we're talking that a person is declared righteous before God when they have put their faith and trust solely in the finished work of Jesus Christ. It rests upon the merits of the death, burial, and bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. We cannot add to our justification. We can't add to the concept of salvation through good works. The Bible makes that extremely plain. He hath made him, Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21.
It is seemingly plain, and I agree. And yet there seems to be a lot of confusion nowadays. There seems to be a lot of this attitude that justification is something hard to explain. It's something hard to define, and that it's even a process. And that's what I wanted to talk about. So what we wanted to talk about tonight is to clear this up. And you brought up some pretty interesting points in a sermon recently, Pastor, and this goes right along with it, because I think there is a confusion over justification and sanctification. So let's just clear the air and ask a question here. Can a person be saved multiple times?
All right. Can a person be saved? If they are truly saved, no, they cannot. Can a person be confused? Yes. Can a person have doubts and be saved? Yes. Okay. But if a person's been truly converted, then they're converted. They have built upon that foundation, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, other foundation can no man lay. And so they've put their faith and trust in Jesus. The Holy Spirit has sealed them and baptized them into the body of Christ. Jesus said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. The Bible speaks in Galatians, you know, that we are sons, we are heirs, you know, together. We've been adopted into the family of God. So are we saying that God would boot one of his children out? No.
I'm reminded of the passage, Pastor, when Paul is talking about this very subject, and he says, he who began a good work in you will work it unto completion. Now, if he did it, then he's going to work it. So what can we really do here? And I think the point for me is that all of it is dependent upon him. Not me, not what I can put into it. So yeah, if you're focusing on you and what you do and my thought process every 5 seconds, then yeah, I think I'm going to be lost then. You know, I mean, if we're focusing on our works, yeah, I feel lost sometimes in the sense that, you know, I'm not doing, like Paul says, what I ought to do. I'm doing something that is sinful, but that doesn't mean that a person loses their salvation. That doesn't mean that we need to be saved again. Maybe we need to be sanctified again, like you were talking about. And we laugh because we know that's a process. We know sanctification is a process. That's something that the Scripture pans out for us. It shows us the way that is a process that is going to last our whole life, trying to be more like Christ. But justification, and we'll close with some thoughts on it here in a little bit, but that is something completely different than what sanctification is. And there's such a plethora of ways to go with this, Pastor, but I wanted to ask that question first because I think it's very important to people. I think that's something that, maybe I even struggled with a little bit in my youth was that, I don't feel saved, and all these other people are talking about these things, and maybe I never got it. Maybe I need to get saved again.
Well, I'll confess, in my youth also, I struggled therein some as well. But this is a subject, Nathan, that I would encourage all of our listeners to just delve into. It's awesome. It's awesome. For example, I love this verse in Romans 3:26, where it says, "To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." That is awesome that mm-hmm. God could and would and did maintain his holiness. He did not bend one bit whatsoever. He didn't blink an eye and say, okay, I'll give up. Just come on in. No. He maintained his holiness. He was just and at the same time being the justifier. It was God's great plan of salvation.
There's a point here as well that it's not just the fact that we are declared righteous, and that's a huge thing. But it's also the point that Christ's righteousness is imputed upon us.
Oh, wonderful.
Wonderful. That is the other part of justification. And what can we say about that? That is how we have right standing. That is how, and it also comes to bear from this point here that being saved multiple times, well, then Jesus' sacrifice is, irrelevant in the sense that his righteousness couldn't cover it. It didn't impute enough on you.
No, you're completely right because it does. It may arise from a person, who's just prone to doubts. It may arise from a person who has fallen in sin and they've kind of said, "Well, this is it. I've lost my salvation." But either way, Nathan, it diminishes the glory of God and the work of Christ, just like you said.
Now, the other big controversy here, as we're kind of sweeping with broad strokes here, is justification by faith or works? There's a lot of people talking throughout the centuries on this. This is the reason for the Reformation. This is something that Martin Luther... And I heard an interesting statistic when they polled evangelicals, 3 out of 10 couldn't associate the Reformation being started by Martin Luther. 3 out of 10. And
why does that not surprise me?
We've talked about a lot of stats on this podcast, and they are what they are. But 3 out of 10 people, we have to work on the fact that we know our history. Now, he started all of this because of the fact that he was studying the passage about justification, and the Catholic Church, as we know, is very focused upon works and deeds. And he comes across justified by faith. Well, what is that? So there's this question that we have to ask here: is justification by faith or works?
Okay, can I read a couple of verses? Here's what Paul said in Romans 4:2: If Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. And then in James 2:21, it says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac, his son, upon the altar? But it's important we understand these are two different things, all right? Yes, they're talking about works. Was Abraham justified before God by faith? Absolutely. Could his works have justified him? No. Did that particular work when he offered his son in obedience to God, did that, maybe verify isn't the right word, but did that verify that he did possess genuine faith in believing in God? Yes, it did. But that work itself did not save him.
Right. And I think that, I mean, this is a podcast series on its own. But when you think about, you know, what James is saying there, I mean, there can be two different definitions of a word, and there's two different definitions of justified there. And we're not talking about the legal declaration there in James. He's talking about, you know, being like justified in believing something, the faith justifying, the works justifying. And that is a differentiation you have to make. What I ran across here is a kind of on the street type interview with a pastoral conference that'll go unnamed. And these are pastors, people in the ministry, along with their wives, answering these questions. Some of them get some stuff right, some of them don't. Let's listen to this first audio clip.
Are we justified by works, by faith and works, or by faith alone?
Oh, boy. Well, if I could resolve that here, I might get a lot of money.
Justified by faith. You can't add anything to the cross.
By faith and works.
Without thumbing with my concordance, I think it's we are justified by faith.
I think it's faith and works.
I think we're justified by faith, and it evidences itself in a life change.
Faith and works.
Faith alone, but faith expresses itself in loving kindness and loving works and deeds.
By faith.
I guess a little of both. Let's throw Paul and James in together and let them duke it out some, you know.
I really think it's a false dichotomy. We are definitely justified by faith, but faith in the New Testament is also the same word as faithfulness.
Now, Pastor, those are some those are some interesting answers, right? I don't not here to throw rocks or stones at people, but we've got some work to do in our churches and as ministers for ironing out our definition of justified by faith or works.
But in all fairness, let's allude back to our friend Martin Luther, who did consider James' this epistle a strawly little epistle over this question of works.
Yeah, he did.
And though I think that he had it right in his mind,
Yeah, I think he had it right in his mind that the Reformation's not without its issues. But the fact is that we have a very mixed up. I heard someone say, and it was, I guess, almost in jest, but they were saying that their denomination, they did a survey just kind of within it, and 70% were functioning Roman Catholics, they found out. And I mean, it's almost in jest, but you know, seriously though, if we're elevating works that much and we think that we're justified by works and faith, we've got a problem.
We do. And I think it's so important that we go back and have a correct understanding about salvation and sanctification. For example, here's Paul, and he's talking to Titus, and it says in 2:14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. So works are extremely important, very important. They don't save us, but we are called. We're called to good works. We're called to love the brethren, called to love the world. We're called to, you know, to do good deeds and to live a upright, upstanding, moral life and be men and women of truthfulness. Those are good works.
Absolutely. And
but they don't save us.
They don't save us. Not whatsoever. like I said, we could do a whole series on that, but it is something that we have to understand, that we are justified by faith. And not only that, It's not just the fact that it's faith, but Paul also talks about being justified by his blood.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really all on Christ there, that he did the work. His righteousness is what God sees. Not just that we're forgiven, but he sees Christ's finished work. And that right there, just pause and think about that for a little bit, that when God sees you, he sees that. He sees his son. And it's a phenomenal thing to just think about and dwell on.
Well, when you mentioned right there about his great work and the blood of Christ, it goes back to what Jesus said to Nicodemus, you know, you must be born again. We're talking about regeneration. You know, we're talking about the great work of the Holy Spirit in regenerating a person, making a new man, new woman in Christ. And, you know, I think James really, you know, sums and caps it well. James simply says in 2:18, he says, I'll just show you my faith by my works.
Mm-hmm.
He never said you're saved by works.
Right.
But he said that God's grace has so revolutionized me, it's made a new person out of mm-hmm. me. And that there's verification of that and through my works.
So the next question that just logically follows is that, is justification a lifelong process? And we already talked about that a little bit with sanctification. That's what we believe sanctification is. But let's hear another piece of an interview. The man on the street top interviews here about if people think justification is a lifelong process or not.
Is justification, in your view, a one-time declaration or a lifelong process?
Justification is both a declaration and a process.
I believe it's a lifelong process.
Oh, I haven't given enough thought to want to go public with that.
Justification, as I understand it, is a term that's given out in the courts. And the idea is that you don't go back to the courtroom to be justified over and over and over again. So for me, I think that justification was a one-time thing that Christ gave us on the cross.
A lifelong process. I think life as a whole is a process.
Smarter men than I am have been arguing about that point for many years, so I'm not totally sold either way.
I would have to say it's a lifelong process.
In your view, is justification a one-time declaration or a lifelong process?
Explain to me what you mean by justification.
Well, I think justification was more of a doctrinal element. It is in the Bible, but I think one thing we've missed out on is the concept of transformation. Justification is, I don't think it's a one-shot. I think it has to be consistent with transformation. We die daily and we live daily.
It's a lifelong process.
One-time declaration, but then we get to work it out in a lifelong process called sanctification.
Pastor, we've got some issues with our beliefs nowadays. And once again, this is not a Jehovah's Witness. This is not a Roman Catholic. This is an evangelical conference that they're just going around asking this question. Is it a lifelong process, Pastor?
I think the confusion comes in when we lose sight of the perseverance of the saints.
Mm.
Okay. And I believe that, you know, that we should have the desire and want to persevere. But I'm going to tell you, it's going to take the grace of God. It takes the grace of God every single day. Now, I believe that justification, I mean, it's like this. Is the Holy Spirit the one who does the regenerating? Yes, he is. Okay. So is that regeneration a little today, a little tomorrow, a little next week, a little 10 years from now? No, no. I believe that this is a great judicial transaction that takes place, a regeneration. But do I believe in perseverance of the saints? Absolutely.
What about this? In Luke 18, where Jesus is talking about this certain man, he says he went down to his house justified.
Justified.
Yeah. Now, you don't find that term a lot in the Gospels, but here's one instance of it, and he's justified that day.
Now, taking the word justified, solely just that word right there, okay? If we're going to say that this is a continuous work, all right, then people like me, it really opens the door for fear and trepidation down the road. So if I stumble, so if I have some bad thoughts one day, okay, so I get a little angry and I was to use a word that I shouldn't use. Peter did, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so then do I think, oh my, has it stopped? Have I lost all that's been put in so far? Maybe I need to go and get saved again? All right. So no. I think, once again, we confuse on words like sanctification. We confuse on concepts like perseverance of the saints.
Yeah, and I think there's just so many elements to this. But you think about the thief on the cross.
Absolutely.
I mean, he didn't have time to work out anything. So that
he couldn't
day,
undo things.
He
couldn't hit replay. He couldn't back up.
No. No, and he had no future. That was it for him. And yet Jesus says, today you'll be mm-hmm. with me in paradise. So I think, and that's just, you know, an easy example, but I mean, how is it that you can confuse the fact that you have to work this out? This is not a process. This is a declaration.
You know, Nathan, somebody might come back at you and say, well, what about Zacchaeus? He said, half my goods I give to the poor. Mm. And if I take anything by false accusation, I'll restore him fourfold. Well, that's fine. That's wonderful and glorious. Mm-hmm. Did Jesus tell him to do that?
No.
Or did he do that as a result of the grace of our wonderful Lord who came to see him that day?
Yeah, absolutely. And once again, another point here is we're talking about, I mean, this term is in the past tense. It's been done. It is a term that, it's like we've mentioned, and that's what we want to nail down here as we're closing out here, is what is it? Well, like you said, Pastor, I believe it's a legal declaration. It's something that has been done for us. We are reckoned justified by the finished work of Christ. But also, I think for me, it is not just for me. I mean, this is orthodoxy, that Christ's righteousness is imputed upon us. And God sees that whenever he sees us. And what a wonderful aspect of this glorious doctrine of justification by faith. Any closing thoughts that you want to give?
Oh, no, I just rejoice. I just praise God. You know, Paul said, where is boasting? It is excluded. By what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law.
Excellent thoughts. And as you come across this this season of I hope that your focus is not upon the scary things of the world, but the fact that the Reformation happened 500 years ago over this very glorious doctrine that we can now think about and praise God that we know that his work, his blood, has covered our sins, and that's how we're saved today.
Amen.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Ambassador Talks. We'll see you again next week.